Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It is Rock and Roll Friday. We are listening to In the Still of the Night by the Five Statins. That is the official song of the AMA. The Five Statins singing In the Still of the Night. Oh, yeah. The Five Statins is like the Five Sisters who run the oil business now. We got the Five Statin monsters. They want to give it to an infant now. So it's Friday the 13th. I'm in L.A. talking with some movie people about my life story. I got derailed for over a year with the U.K. ban. But, you know, all it did was create more publicity. So if that's what they want, that's what they did. Now the movie will be as big in England as it will be here. That's all. The Michael Savage story coming to a theater near you whenever. Meanwhile, I'm focused on a daily show. My book, Trickle Up Poverty, is on michaelsavage.com. We got the cover up on the website for you to pre-order it on Amazon. And that's it. And it's open mic to mic. I don't know that I can't give you any more stories today because it's frightening. I'm in L.A., so I go to a deli for lunch. Big deal. I don't like deli food to begin with, you know. And big deal. So it's supposed to be nostalgic for New York, you know, kind of food. And it's not that good for you, as you well know. It's all fat and this and that. Some of it tastes good. So I said, do you have any gefilte fish, something that looks like the press secretary? Now, since there are no longer any ethnic Jews working in Jewish delis, and they're all people from, El Salvador, Mexico, and whatever, they looked at me blankly. But I thought it was a funny line. I said, you know, in a jar, looks like the press secretary with eyes. No, he said, only for special holidays. So I got a turkey sandwich on Sunset Boulevard. Big deal. I could have gotten the same at Denny's with the pickle. There was so much mayhem in the deli because I said to a woman next to me online, I said, you see, here's the problem. The minute you go into a Jewish delicatessen, it does not matter what the ethnic group is behind the counter. Mayhem ensues within 5 minutes of an ethnic group working in such a place. It's inherent in the thing. So I buy a copy of the New York Daily Post. I read it online. You know, I tell you, the paper's gone downhill. The first three pages are about baseball. To me, they're all the same. Cuff Love, K-Rod went ballistic over Gal Pal. That's a headline? Then you turn again. Another sports star who hits somebody or beats someone, a sex rap, K-Rod's Gal Fury, slugger this, slugger that. I'm already on page 7. There's no news in the New York Post. Then the next one is New York City principal recycled truckloads of good furniture weighing 4 tons. Okay, so what? Then there's a tiny little article. Gay West Pointer wants to quit. A lesbian cadet. What is a lesbian cadet? Has asked to resign from the U.S. Military Academy because she can no longer lie about her sexuality and was troubled by the anti-gay attitudes of some around her. Catherine Miller wants to fight to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. A subject she was studying as a SOS major at West Point. You hear what she's studying at West Point? Now you have any idea why the military's in trouble? You hear this? A lesbian goes into West Point, and instead of studying how to kill our enemies, how to find enemies in the country, she's studying how to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell as a sociology major at West Point. Now, if you think that's bad, you're right. But I'll tell you a story that if you really want me to get me going, I'll tell you this one. This is really bad. I found it last night, and I decided I better not talk about it because I'll get agitated. I don't want to get agitated. But I feel that since I'm on the air, I'm not going to waste your time. Our defense secretary, who is the kind of, his name is Gates, not Bill Gates. It's whatever Gates, Robert Gates. Defense Secretary Gates is continuously trying to shrink the Marine Corps. They're saying that they're going to study a review of the future role of the Marine Corps amid anxiety that the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan had turned the Marine Corps into a second land army, which we don't need. Now, as you well know, Robert Gates, the defense secretary, does what Obama wants him to do. You have to ask yourself why a far-left radical socialist, communist, Marxist like Obama is threatened by the U.S. Marine Corps. Why would he want to take the Marine Corps apart? Can you figure this one out? Because I figured it out. Why is the Obama administration out to destroy the U.S. Marine Corps? Defense chief to shrink Marine Corps, Obama and Libs fear elite warriors. Read the story and call me. 1-800-449-8255. Only 29% of Americans back Obama's handling of illegals. They're all illegal, though. Those who support him are the illegals. Let's see. Researchers propose statin use with fast food. Make that a burger, fries, and a side of Lipitor, please. In England, the nanny state of England is considering giving out statins with that's a cholesterol-lowering drug to offset the hazard of glories of fatty cuisines. Now, as you have to know that many doctors are nothing more than pimps for the drug companies. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but otherwise you won't get the message. Many of you don't understand what's going on, but the connection between doctors who are on the payroll of drug companies is at an all-time high, and they're nothing but pimps for the drug companies. Statins are not known to reduce the risk of heart attack, period. Did you know that or not? It's one of the greatest hoaxes of our time. Statins as a category definitely lower cholesterol, definitely change the LDL-HDL levels, there's no question, but that does not translate into lowering the risk of getting a first heart attack. I'm trained in epidemiology. I read the literature. I don't read the newspapers. And yet, despite the fact that as a preventive medication, it has not been shown to reduce the risk of a first heart attack, okay? They're still trying to push it down to children as young as 3 years old. Now, they want to give it to people who buy a French fries and a hamburger in England. This is all because the drug companies own the medical establishment to an extent that I've never seen in my life. Representatives from Merck, which manufactures Lipitor, and Pfizer makers of Zocor, declined to comment on the idea. McDonald's Corp. also did not respond to an inquiry. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I want you to call me if you've been on statins or statins, whichever you want to call them. I still don't know how they pronounce them, whether it's Staten Island or Staten Island, I don't know. But I haven't been there in many years. If you live on Staten Island, give me a call. If you live on Staten Island, don't bother. We're talking about the drug statin, the statins. You know your liver levels, your enzymes have to be monitored. You know that. Okay, that's number one. They claim that the side effects are very low, 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000. I don't believe it. There is literature that shows the muscle damage done by statins in some individuals is severe and somewhat permanent. It takes people years to get off to reverse the damage that some of these drugs do to them. You may not know this because your doctor doesn't want you to know it, but you owe it to yourself to know what they're doing to you. If you have taken either of these, any of these drugs, without naming the brand, and you've had the muscle pain, the muscle aches, the muscle debility, and I will tell you, we're going to get calls that you're not going to believe, but we're going to blow the lid off statins today on the Savage Nation. We are also talking about Obama and his Stepford wife, the Defense Secretary Gates, wanting to cut the U.S. Marine Corps in half or more. Probably if they could, they would eliminate the Marine Corps. Why does Obama want to eliminate the United States Marine Corps? Why does he have such an animus toward this incredible corps? What does he have against it? What does he fear? What does he want to do once he destroys the Marine Corps? You know, Gates, the Defense Secretary, gives me the chills. He reminds me of Robert McNamara, the defense secretary under LBJ in the Vietnam era. And these technocrats, these pencil pushers, these bean counters frighten me because they don't have any policies other than those that are presented to them by the men above them. And whatever the men above them want to do, you want more war, you get more war. You want less war, you get less war. You want to kill the Marine Corps, tell me, I'll show you how to do it. This is a frightening situation. He is our defense secretary, but he's not acting in our defense. He's acting at the behest of Barack Hussein Obama, who wants to cut the Marine Corps for a reason that I'm sure you can figure out. Do you have any idea why he wants to cut the Marine Corps? Listen to Gates in clip 24.
The Pacific campaign of World War II was the only period of history when the exclusive focus of the Marine Corps was on amphibious assault. Yet fundamentally, the Marines do not want to be, nor does America need, another land army. Nor do they want to be, nor does America need, a U.S. Navy police force, as President Truman once quipped.
Traitor. His voice was actually shaking when he read this speech. He sounded like he was a traitor. I'm sick of listening to this crap. There is a reason that the liberal elites hate the U.S. Marines. Can you figure it out? 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage Nation live from Hollywood, California. Big deal. Big deal. You walk on Sunset Boulevard, you see the most beautiful girls in the world. They're all trying to become a movie star. How many of them make it? God only knows. If they don't achieve it by 21, what do they do? The next stop, as you well know, is hopefully you latch onto a guy with money and you know, you have that. That doesn't work. You can become a massage therapist. That doesn't work. You can become a homeopathist. That doesn't work. At age 25, they could become a herbalist. That doesn't work. They could try nutrition. That doesn't work. Beautician. That doesn't work. Cosmetician. That doesn't work. Massage therapist. That doesn't work. Move back to Pittsburgh and open up a deli. 1-800-449. We're talking about some serious topics mixed in with some observations, you know. Observations. I don't even go to the restaurants here in L.A. at night. They're so noisy. I eat at home. I do takeout. It's fun to go out. I mean, you see all of the good-looking people. I enjoy that younger crowd than the boring San Francisco Bay Area where I live. Everyone is so beaten up and old and tired. It's unbelievable. Why does everyone look so beaten up in the San Francisco area? There's such a difference in culture between San Francisco and L.A. that I like to go back and forth. I haven't been here in 6 months. But you see it, it's youthful down here, alive, everyone has hope. Up there, everyone looks like a beaten up voodoo doll. The streets are filthy in San Francisco. You look at the road, 19th Avenue going out to the airport, it looks like Malaysia looks cleaner. The roads are broken, they're dirty, that's what you get from a liberal government up there. The streets are filthy and the people dress down. They're all trying to be bohemian. Everyone thinks they're bohemian, but they just look like slobs. At least down here, there's a little style. Gay, straight, it doesn't matter. People got style. The gays down here know how to dress. Up there, everyone looks like they're from Topeka trying to be wild. So we're talking about the major side effects of statin drugs, which you don't know about because the doctors won't tell you. Some doctors actually will tell you. And if you have a statin horror story, give me a call. There are 1 out of 10 people, by the way, at least 1 out of 10 are known to get complications, including neuropathy. I am not the world's expert, but there are some other side effects that are well known in the literature. Some people taking statins get memory loss, inability to concentrate as well as they did. They feel that they're developing Alzheimer's disease while taking these statin drugs. The memory loss may be so extreme as to be amnesia that lasts for 6 to 12 hours. Cognitive defects of this nature are not that uncommon. Other people taking these drugs claim to experience mood swings. Okay? But they won't report it. The FDA knows this. And many people will return to normal after discontinuing the statin drug. Now, in addition to the muscle fatigue and the memory loss, which are serious enough, let's go into the neuropathy that is known to occur in 1 out of 10 people. What is neuropathy? The symptoms may be a feeling of tiredness, difficulty in arising from a low chair or getting out of bed, shortness of breath, or difficulty walking. In other words, the average functionality of a federal worker is what a person will experience if they take a statin. So there it is. A famous Danish study of neuropathy as a side effect of statin use concluded that an individual who is a long-term user of these drugs has anywhere from 4 to 14 times greater risk of developing peripheral neuropathy than a person who does not take statin drugs. Again, I'm not an expert in this, but my PhD dissertation included about one-third of it was about neuropathy. It's not that I advanced the knowledge of the field of neuropathy, but I was very interested in the subject, and it was included in my doctoral dissertation, by the way. So I know a little bit about it, not a lot, but I know a little bit more than the average person in the news business would even know how to say neuropathy. I mean, you know, the guy with the glasses and the chalkboard, he could not say neuropathy. At least I can tell you what neuropathy is. Can't believe the stuff these people are covering on television now. Calvin Coolidge? And they do it with a straight face. And the Marines we're talking about. Why does Obama and his Stepford wife, the Defense Secretary Gates, have it in for the Marines? Why do they want to cut him? Already out of time. Boom again. Mike in New York, WOR calling. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I totally agree with you. There's too many doctors today writing too many prescriptions. They're in bed with the pharmaceutical companies. And I kind of agree with you with the statins. You know, it might help some individuals, but like you said, doctor, it can cause peripheral neuropathy, and that's not good. Maybe they should try eating the jar of gefilte fish with the R's. At least it has omega-3.
Now, are you a doctor yourself, Mike?
Yes, sir.
What kind of doctor?
Well, I'm not the chiropodist you once knew on Avenue X as a child. We've come a long way from that.
Are you a chiropodist?
No, I'm actually a podiatrist.
My friend's father was a podiatrist. He became a very famous banker, but the father was a whack job. He looked like Frankenstein. The guy had a rack in the office. We were afraid of it to go in the house. Remember, do they still use a rack where they stretch you to get your spine relieved or something?
Yeah,
no, I was afraid of the guy. He was 6'5", and he had like an eerie, you know, little apartments in those days. Doctors, like shady doctors, practiced in apartments. Who knows if he didn't do abortions? But he would say, if you're not careful, my father will grab you and put you on the rack. He always looked like eerie with like long, weird, greasy hair. But that's what you got in those days. The son went way beyond the father. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com.
Savage.
Just a dream, just a dream.
Just a dream.
All our plans and all our schemes. How could I think you'd be mine?
You'd be mine.
Those lies I tell myself each time.
I don't know why, but this song has been in my head for 2 days. Just a Dream by Jimmy Clanton. I have no idea why. I don't even remember the song. It's not connected with Love by the Sewer Plant, nothing. Yeah, it's summer, it's a hot August, you know, and maybe a little summer thoughts. Who knows? You know, everyone's on vacation. You can't reach anyone. Whoever you email will be out of office from the 13th to the 18th, please, if it's important. No, I'm emailing you because it's not important. I want to know how your hemorrhoid is. Everyone, you email, auto response. Joe Blow or Janet Blow will be out of the office. Auto, if it's really important, call my idiot secretary, who's no doubt somewhere in Chelsea having an extra long lunch. You know, there's no one there. No, I'm emailing you because I wanted to have fun today by emailing and going blind a little bit more. So we're talking about serious stuff like muscle weakness and neuropathy from statins, a side effect occurring in 1 out of 10 people, maybe more. Real serious stuff. Look, let me tell you something. I'm at high risk for a cardiovascular blowout. So I've been obsessed with this topic for my whole adult life since I'm 18. And so that's why I went into the fields I went into. I was always looking for the Ponce de Leon, you know, Fountain of Youth, the cure. That's why I wrote health books for so many years. And some of them were very, very important books of their time. You know, Maximum Immunity, published in 1985, I don't remember, 83, I don't remember, Houghton Mifflin, 16 languages. I was very proud of that book. I was always very interested in the causation of disease from points of view that were not generally accepted or known. I wrote Nutrition Against Aging, God knows, really good books. The Skeptical Nutritionist, 1983 rather, that was 83 from Macmillan. So I've always looked into these things. So I was trying to what causes arteries to clog and this and that. And when I started reading about it back in the 60s, obviously diet was a big deal, but it was not yet known to be as big a deal as it was 20 years later. So I started, you know, digging, finding studies like the great studies by McCulley et al. out of Harvard in 1952 on rabbits and how he found that B6 will prevent the onset of atherosclerosis with diets that are known to induce rapid onset of atherosclerosis. And rabbit, the cardiovascular system of rabbits is very similar to ours, believe it or not. And that was a revelation for me, you know. So I've been on massive doses of megavitamins for at least 40 years. And I know that it's, you know, one of the reasons I'm still kicking. Doesn't mean it won't happen tonight or tomorrow, but okay, so far so good. You know, tomorrow's another day. The big man upstairs has a plan for all of us. That's how, at a certain point, you have to become rather a believer or childish, whichever way you want to look at it, and just give it up to someone else because you're really not in control of the end line. We're all born, live, and die, and that's the end of it. So at a certain point, you can become fatalistic and say, I can't do anything about it, which is nonsense. You can do everything about it. And I've proven this over the years with people who were skeptical. I started in the 70s. I'd say to people who didn't even understand at that time, they didn't want to accept food had anything to do with health. So I'd have to say to the audiences then, and I'm talking now 1970, 71, I'd say, okay, you don't think food has anything to do with health? Well, no, I had a grandfather lived to 98 and he ate everything under the sun. He drank 3 scotches a day. I said, okay, so he was a nutritional rogue. But most people do not have the genetic capacity to simply do whatever they wish and to live that long. Then you get their attention. Now, if you're blessed with that, good luck to you, but most of us aren't. And I said, I could prove to you that you can destroy your health right now if you want with what's on that kitchen table. Okay, I said, oh, God, prove it. I said, you see that salt shaker? If you were to dump that entire salt shaker into a bowl of soup, you'd probably have a stroke. Now you're starting to make some impact on people. They started to see that food can have an immediate effect on them, but people don't want to accept that they are doing damage to themselves in any way. And then, you, of course, we're all in. We all understand now what coronary heart disease is to a certain extent. The rates have gone down dramatically, primarily due to dietary changes and exercise and the cessation of smoking and the great use of vitamins over the last 30 years. If you don't think the daily use of vitamins over the last 30 years, especially vitamin C, because of the great work of Pauling and Cameron, you're mistaken. You're wrong. And the great Shute brothers who did the great work on vitamin E, never mind the quacks who work for the drug companies who try to disprove Pauling and Cameron. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Every one of those studies was biased, either with dosages that were too low or the wrong form of vitamin E. I saw the studies. I read them. They were easily refuted, but you never saw the refutations because the drug companies didn't want you to see the refutations. The point is that there are very, very important things you can do to protect yourself, and many of us are doing them. We're sane about it. We're sensible. Now we come to a point in history where the drug industry is trying to sell you on the miracles of statins, and they're telling you it's literally going to prevent you from having a heart attack. The literature does not support that. Here is what it supports. The scientific literature supports that statins will prevent a second heart attack in people who already have had a first heart attack. But there is no evidence that the taking of statins on a preventive level will prevent a first heart attack. Any reputable cardiologist will acknowledge that. Any one of them knows that that's the fact. Now, in addition to that, by the way, which is an argument against you taking statins if you haven't had a heart attack, because the drug thieves are now trying to push it down to children 4 years old with a chewable form. They're criminals. There's no end to what they will do unless they're stopped. Look what they did with Ritalin to millions of boys who they turned into drug addicts and junkies because they put them on Ritalin when they were little boys. I pioneered the attack on these drugs. When I wrote a book, well, don't get me started. I get so emotional about how children are mistreated by the drug companies, by the way. Don't get me started. I wrote a book, Healing Children Naturally, which is still available on my website. It's a great book. It's a phenomenal book. It's about using foods instead of medicines. Now, do I eschew all of Western medicine? Of course not. I wouldn't be alive without it. The antibiotics have saved my life many times over the course of my life. Several times. Probably it was touch and go. And without antibiotics, I don't think I would have survived. But I remember once I got deathly ill in Fiji on one of my plant collecting trips on an out island. And I developed some unknown sore throat. It was deep in the throat. I never had any infection like this. It had rapidly spread. I thought I was going to die. Luckily, I carried a little medicine chest with me, which included, I think, erythromycin. And the minute I started taking it, I reversed it. So that was a miraculous thing for me. So Western medicine is super important. But not when it's turned into simply a profit center where all of efficacy and safety is thrown out of the window simply for the bottom line. And that's why I'm focusing with my audience on the side effects of using statins. I took them. I tried to take them. I literally could not, I almost couldn't walk. Within a day or two, my legs were killing me. And one of the side effects of statins are aching in the shoulders, pain in the jaw, muscle pain in the legs. Why do you get that? Because the muscle pain is a symptom that muscle breakdown is occurring due to the side effect of the statin drug. And when muscle tissues break down, the body eliminates the excess waste products. The waste products then overload the kidneys, causing more serious problems. And so the breakdown of muscle fibers that results in the release of muscle fiber contents into the bloodstream has a name. I don't have to give you the Latin name. Besides muscle pain, the other major symptoms of this is dark red or cola-colored urine. So, there are cholesterol-lowering drugs. Some are worse than others. In fact, the cholesterol-lowering drug Bacol was removed from the market after being implicated in over 60 deaths due to this. It is still a dangerous side effect of statins in general, but they won't tell you that. You won't hear this anymore. Between 1% and 5% of statin users will experience muscle pain or weakness as a side effect. Now, I think I've said enough. You can research this yourself. Do a Google on it. And before you go back to your doctor, talk with him about it. And if he goes through, oh, gosh, that's not true. Where'd you hear that? Oh, gosh, that's not true. You take your drug now. Next. All right, you know, buyer beware. I try to warn you. You know, back in the 30s, if you pick up old copies of National Geographic or Life magazine, you'll see ads for Chesterfield cigarettes where a doctor is shown smoking a cigarette, and it said Chesterfield is the number one choice of cigarettes amongst doctors. I mean, you'd laugh at that today, wouldn't you? Well, how many of the drugs that are being peddled today will be seen as dangerous in years to come? I'm trying to give you some forewarning. Topic number two is why Obama and his Stepford wife, Gates, want to destroy the Marine Corps. Let's go now to clip 25.
Looking ahead, I do think it is proper to ask whether large-scale amphibious assault landings along the lines of Incheon are feasible. I've therefore asked the Secretary of the Navy, Ray Mabus, and the Marine Corps leadership to conduct a thorough force structure review to determine what an expeditionary force in readiness should look like in the 21st century.
Oh, really? Keep going. Come
All
on.
Of the military services have been challenged to find the right balance between preserving what is unique and valuable in their traditions, while at the same time making the changes needed to win the wars we are in and to prepare for likely future threats in the years
to come. Now, let me ask you something. To win the wars we are in, we've been in Afghanistan for 9 years. We haven't won it. We're about to pull out of Iraq, and all hell is about to break loose. So these theories that these wonderful geniuses in the defense establishment have all failed, haven't they? This is not your father's generation of defense secretaries when they were called the Department of War, because that's what a defense secretary is, a Department of War. They should know how to win a war if they engage in a war. The first rule that I learned as a kid was never get into a fight you can't win. How come these guys get into fights and they refuse to win them? It's not that we couldn't win them. We could have won in Iraq more definitively than we have. And we could win in Afghanistan more definitively than we have because we've lost in Afghanistan. It's gone south because of Gates. It's gone south because of these idiotic policies that these people keep coming up with. You ask the men on the ground who are actually taking the bullets. You ask them what they think about Iraq and Afghanistan. You ask them how they think the wars should have been fought or should be fought or whether we should get out of there altogether. Again, you rarely hear their voices. You never hear their voices. Their voices are suppressed by the government media complex. Let's hear the next clip from Robert Gates.
A line I invoke time and again is that experience is the ability to recognize a mistake when you make it again. Four times in the past century, the United States has come to the end of a war, concluded that the nature of man and the world had changed for the better.
What is this rubbish?
And turned inward, unilaterally disarming and dismantling institutions important to our national security.
What?
In the process, giving ourselves a peace dividend.
Where it stopped for that minute. This garbage was written by some pacifist lunatic that he's mouthing like a marionette. Listen to what the man just said. Four times in the last century, America has come to the end of the war and concluded the nature of man has changed for the better. You're telling me the nature of man has changed for the better after 9/11? And we dismantle institutions important to our national security in the process, giving us a peace dividend. What peace dividend? We've been at war for the last 15 years. Now listen to 28.
Starting in June, we embarked on a sustained, multifaceted effort to move America's defense institutions toward a more effective, efficient, and cost-conscious way of doing business.
Okay,
earlier this
right.
week, I announced an initial set of major decisions designed to reduce duplication, overhead, and excess in the defense enterprise.
That's wonderful. That's terrific. Cut out the defense crooks and leave the Marine Corps alone. Why does Obama want to destroy the U.S. Marine Corps? Gates is not making this decision. He's simply enacting the decision of the lunatics from Harvard University who hate the military. There is a reason that they are going after the Marine Corps. And the reason is quite obvious to anyone who has a pair of eyes. Robert in New York, WOR, your opinion, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Yeah, figure this. Here it is. They're trying to make the military weak already by rewarding soldiers for not shooting, right?
Yeah.
Then you have, they're trying to shrink this the Marines down to create maybe a possible private army under which Obama and his stooges can control, right?
God forbid. I don't think that they would have the nerve in this at this time to create the private army that Obama promised. I don't think he'll do the SA yet. No, not yet. But I will tell you this. If there were a Marine Corps, they would never do it. You follow where I'm going here?
Yeah.
The army is too muddled in order to stand up to a private army, the creation of a private army. The army has no cohesion. Let me put it to you that way. Let me define it a little better. The army has no true cohesion as an organization. The Marine Corps has tremendous group cohesion. Tremendous group cohesion, and may I add, it's predominantly white males. May I say that again in case you missed the point, Robert? May I say that once again? The Marine Corps is the real deal. It's the real McCoy. And the radical left-wing scum in this administration, the radical left-wing vermin, haters of America, ever since the Clinton administration, because I remember some of these rat women from the Clinton administration were targeting the Marines. They were sneering at them. They were saying, who are those guys with those things on their shoulders? I don't like them. These women will get us all killed. And now you see this mentality having metastasized under this Obama maniac trying to kill the U.S. Marine Corps now. Now they're using a front man like Gates as though it makes sense because he's saying it. It makes no sense no matter who is saying it. There are many, many reasons the Marine Corps must not be touched. Now, I'm getting excited over this for a number of reasons. I would fear this country if there was no Marine Corps. How do you like that? And I don't think that there is a political will in Congress to decimate the Marine Corps, incidentally. I think it would be suicide for any politician who voted to undermine the Marine Corps, other than Barney Frank and Charles Schumer, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, the normal group, Barney Frank, Chris Dodd, the entire radical left would cut the Marine Corps down to nothing. They'd give them wooden guns if they could. They'd give them wooden guns if they could and wooden bullets. But other than those radical left-wing whack jobs who were in Obama's pocket, they wouldn't touch the Marine Corps in Congress. Nevertheless, we're having this discussion because they're talking about it. And we have to say no, niet, no, 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 no. No, don't touch our Marine Corps. We all love the Marine Corps. Now, at the risk of offending your sensibilities, I have to direct you to my website, To Trickle Up Poverty, although the book is not out. I'm sorry, I feel obligated in the midst of the summer doldrum to direct you to the book right now, and I'll tell you why. I devote an entire chapter to the military and Obama's attack on it. You see, when I say trickle-up poverty, although I am predominantly talking about his economics, which have attacked the middle class and are going to do so even to a greater extent than you can imagine, I am talking about the poverty that is trickling up in all of our institutions, including the military. He is impoverishing every institution that the United that has made the United States great. In this case, the U.S. Marine Corps. I'll be right back.
Savage.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation. I'm all dressed up for the dance.
One of my favorite tunes, quite evocative of my high school years. I never went to the prom, by the way. I was always an outsider. I always was like kind of an outsider kid. I had a lot of friends, but I was an outsider. I don't know why. I was a shortstop on the team when I played it all. But I kind of just looked in from the, I don't know, whatever. So here I am writing Trickle Up Poverty, doing a daily radio show. And, you know, the Trickle Up Poverty book, I just want to read you what's in that chapter on the military. No longer can we be Barack Obama's sheeple and let the American dream be trampled, beaten, and burned to the ground. Okay, that's the product description. Trickle Up Poverty by best-selling author and revered radio host is your best defense against the Obamanomics that are dragging the middle class and everyone else into a Marxist-socialist death spiral. The Savage Manifesto you hold in your hand shows how Obama is circumventing the Constitution to push through his radical agenda. And most importantly, how we can restore our country to the power and prestige that Barack Obama and his corrupt and degenerate czars are trying to destroy. Look, I pull no punches. So then I go into the impoverishing the middle class, how he's erasing our border with Mexico. Now here's the military. This is a whole chapter. Defunding the military and putting our troops in harm's way. Obama's beatnik policy of taking apart our nuclear arsenal and destroying NASA while implementing PC rules of engagement that don't allow our troops to protect themselves is dangerously weakening our security and ending our military dominance. Next chapter, lining the pockets of his Wall Street buddies, propagandizing the media, ignoring the Tea Party. And we are dangerous. Anyway, you get the picture. You go to Amazon and take a look at it. You know what I want you to do? Order a book and give it to a soldier. Give it to a Marine. Give it to an airman. Many of them don't have the money to buy a book. Give them a book. What if thousands of these books wound up in the military? I'd love to see Obama ban them. Wouldn't that be great? You can't buy this book. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, I'm banned in Britain. At this point, they don't want to, you know, they don't want to take me off the list. It's their loss. What if my book became banned in America? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be great? Go ahead, make my day. Ban my book. Ban my book in the military. Make my day, Mr. Gates. I'm questioning your questioning of the Marines' role in the future. Ban Trickle Up Poverty, because it's all in there.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, Friday edition, Friday the 13th. If you're superstitious, I cannot help you. We're talking about the Obama administration having a desire to decimate the United States Marine Corps and why he is targeting the Marine Corps. He's using a spokesmouth in the form of Defense Secretary Gates. We're also talking about the lack of transparency with regard to the side effects of statin drugs on the Savage Nation, and any other topic that, you know, interests you, you can call me on this Friday, and we'll talk about it. 1-800-449-8255. Here's an interesting article. Obama closes curtain on transparency by Timothy Carney, Examiner columnist. President Barack Hussein Obama has abolished the position in his White House dedicated to transparency and shunted those duties into the portfolio of a partisan ex-lobbyist who was openly antagonistic to the notion of disclosure by government and politicians. Now, that's what I call a paragraph. Listen to the second paragraph. Obama transferred ethics czar Norm Eisen to the Czech Republic. Some of Eisen's duties will now be handed to domestic policy council member Stephen Crowley, but most of them will go over to the already full docket of White House counsel Bob Bauer. So there it is. There's your transparency from the most deceptive president in the history of this republic. As with his other reformer rhetoric, Obama's transparency is mostly smoke and mirrors. It's not smoke and mirrors. This is the most deceitful trickster to have ever invaded the White House. He is the most deceitful trickster to have ever invaded the White House. He has decimated virtually every institution that has made America great. He has tried to fund every institution that would drag us further down as a nation. I don't spend a lot of time Obama bashing because I find it boring. But when I see Defense Secretary Gates attacking the Marine Corps, I know we're in very, very, very deep trouble. And I know how dangerous things can get real fast. After this election, all bets are off. Let's assume for a minute that the Republicans do gain a lot of seats. Big deal. Big deal. You expect miracles now? Or you didn't have 8 years of them? Are you kidding me? How in the world can you expect anything to change by putting in the Republican Party? So you say, well, what should we do? I don't know. You decide what you should do. You have to be a big boy or a big girl. Yes, if there's a candidate running as an independent, vote them in and vote the two bums out. Or if there's a candidate who the Republican Party embraces, watch out. You better run from them like fire. Because both the Republican Party and the Democrat Party are trying to undermine the Tea Party. Because the Tea Party is the party of the people. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows the Tea Parties are the real grassroots American people speaking. Not the rent-a-mobs that Al Sharpton was famous for. Not the rent-a-mobs that gave us the most distrustful government in history. No, these are the real people. And that's why the vermin in the media have sneered, snickered, debased, and tried to undermine the Tea Parties. Particularly the vermin on the left and on MSNBC. Telling dirty jokes about Tea Parties with references to certain sex acts that a certain subgroup of the population engage in, as told by Anderson Blooper, something perhaps he knows more about than I do. Another prize of humanity sitting there in an anchor chair. They probably have to use Lysol on the chair when he gets through. Don't get me started. You want me to get burlesque about it? I'll get burlesque. Him and Rachel Maddow. They probably have to decontaminate the studios when they walk out. They're such vile creatures. They don't even look like human beings to me. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of listening to these people who hate this country. And they're dangerous. This is not just opinion anymore from these people. They're dangerous. And when they want to take apart the Marine Corps, there's only one reason. There's only one reason. The Marine Corps, as opposed to the Army, you want to talk about racial demographics? Let's do it. Let's get it on. Let's have it out. Let's lay it on the table. Why is the Marine Corps predominantly white males? Huh? Why? You have an answer to that question? Why do people go into the Marines? Why does some of the... That doesn't mean only the patriots are in the Marines. Don't get me wrong. There are patriots in all divisions of the military. But there's a larger percentage of diehards in the Marine Corps than in any other branch of the services. Why does Obama want to cut costs by attacking the Marines? Why? Well, because let's say Obama wants to fulfill one of his campaign dreams, which is to have a private military that reports only to him. A private military that is as well-funded and just as large as the U.S. military. If that day ever comes, you better leave the country, because you'll be living in Hitler's Germany. Oh, it can happen here? It is happening here, right in front of your eyes, idiot. Moron! Nothing happens overnight, idiot, moron! Moron, idiot, schmuck! Nothing happens in a democracy overnight, moron, idiot, schmuck! These things happen slowly. And if you are trained to watch them, you see them happening. And Obama is trying to transform America, not for the good. He is trying to transform America for the evil, for the bad. Try to turn America into something you would never recognize ever again. And if this character, if this imposter ever gets a private army that is just as big as the U.S. military, just as well funded, but that does not report to anyone, such as does not report to Congress, but only reports to him, the country is over. Now, who would stand up to such a private army? The U.S. Army wouldn't under Gates. Gates would probably goose step and say, terrific, that's what we want. That's the kind of army we want. I believe that if there were ever to be such a creation, there'd be a fight within the military, and the only part of the military that would stand up to this coup would be the U.S. Marine Corps. I mean, let's lay it on the line. I'm a student of history. Why, you can't say coup anymore? You fundamentally have had a coup in the executive office. It is a coup. The only thing he hasn't swayed yet is the military. The Congress, you have had a coup in the Congress already. It's like a South American Congress right now. You may as well be in Peru with the radical leftists ranging from Harry Reid to Barbara Boxer and Nancy Pelosi and half the Republicans. Barney Frank, he'd be very happy in Peru under Allende the Communist. Barney Frank, Christopher Dodd. These are your ideas of distinguished congressmen, people you can look up to, owned by the banking industry. So we've had a coup. We've seen a coup in the Congress. We've seen a coup in the executive. The only area there has been no coup yet. And by the way, in the judicial, you've had a coup. Now, he put two women on the Supreme Court. Both of them would have been very comfortable in the Allende government in South America. Both Mr. Sotomayor and Ms. Kagan, the human gefilte fish without a jar. Both of them. Radical communists from front to back. Extreme radicals from top to bottom. So, yeah, you've seen a transformation in the three branches of government. It's not complete yet, but it's only been, it's only been less than 2 years. He's a young man yet. He's got to work on getting the illegals the vote. That way he can eliminate term limits. Then we'll have Idi Amin, president for life. Envision him age 70, still running the country. Not 5 years later, but try 30 years later. Try to see what this character would do to this country. And so, therefore, the only thing standing between him and doing everything he'd like to do is the fear. Trust me, I can guarantee you as I stand here, I may be the only one in the American media able to see this and willing to talk about it. You tell me I'm crazy, I would say you don't know what the hell you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. So, if you want to talk about these very serious topics, we can do so. I mean, these are heavy topics for a Friday, but look, let's lay it on the line. If talk radio doesn't get you engaged in very serious topics such as this, it really shouldn't exist anymore. You've got some cable channels like Fox that do a very good job on basic levels that could do the job that we don't do. But there are areas they will not touch. There are areas that talk radio still venture into that Fox News dares not go near. And that's sort of our market. And so this is one of them. When have you last seen anyone on Fox News speculating about the Marine Corps standing up to a coup or conducting a coup to stand up to Obama's private army? Do any of the geniuses that they put on Fox News, do you think they have the capacity to even think that far ahead? I don't. I really don't. I'm an innovator. I'm a free thinker. Forgive me for being a true American, because the America I grew up in was an America that encouraged free thinking. It was an America that encouraged speculation. If that has become a crime, then I apologize in advance. I didn't realize I committed a crime, and it's illegal to think in America. And so, therefore, we're talking about it. 1-800-449-8255. We can talk about the statin drugs, the lack of transparency coming from the medical pharmaceutical cabal, and the Obama administration in attacking the Marine Corps in a subtle way right now through Defense Secretary Gates questioning whether we need a Marine Corps or a Marine Corps of this size. Here, listen to clip 24 again.
The Pacific campaign of World War II was the only period of history when the exclusive focus of the Marine Corps was on amphibious assault. Yet fundamentally, the Marines do not want to be, nor does America need, another land army. Nor do they want to be, nor does America need, a U.S. Navy police force, as President Truman once quipped.
So this is a technocrat, a bean counter, who is doing the bidding of his boss, Obama, who has told him, go out and give fancy speeches with double talk. Do double speak, Gates. Double speak the elimination of the Marines. And you know where he gave this speech? It's funny. He gave it the other night in San Francisco at the Marines Memorial Club. So far as I know, nobody objected to him talking about decimating the Marines. And that's because most people in the military are trained to keep their mouths shut. Do you know why they fired McChrystal? That was a warning shot across the bow of all the other Marine Corps generals to not speak out when they came to San Francisco to the Marines Memorial Club to tell them they were going to take apart the Marines. They warned them that if we could take apart a wartime commander, destroy him, trash him, make up stories about him because he was too good and too strong, and he insulted Biden, the thinnest-skinned vice president in history, If we can do that to him at during wartime, imagine what we can do to you and your pension if you dare say one word to Defense Secretary Gates when he gives a speech in a few months about taking down the Marine Corps. We're this close to the coup that Obama has dreamed of all of his life. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm so young and you're so old. This, my darling, I've been told. I don't care just what they say, 'cause forever I will pray. You and I.
It is the Savage Nation. I feel so much better today. I was whacked out yesterday from the plane ride. Tired. I could hardly get through the show in the last hour. Traveling really exhausts me. But I recovered. I had a great dream. I had wonderful dreams. Wonderful dreams from the raw fish that I ate for dinner. And a Japanese diet last night. So that's why my mind is clear. I ate brain food. I ate raw fish. Raw tuna fish. I needed my mercury fix. I needed that. I love the taste of mercury in the morning. I got to tell you, I really do. Stanley McChrystal is in the Army, not the Marines, says my good friend, the physicist Jack Sarfati. Thank you very much. And my other good friend, Mr. Chauca, reminds me that Allende was from Chile, not from Peru. But the point is, he was a devout communist. Salvador Allende was a Marxist socialist president of Chile. And, of course, that's why I said to you that Ms. Sotomayor and Ms. Kagan would have been very happy in an Allende Supreme Court. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to lighten it up a bit. I mean, I know that you know what I'm talking about here today. How many vacations has Obama been on yet? You want to talk about that? The guy is like, doesn't care about you. How many vacations now? Why is he taking so many vacations? Tell me. Topics for the Savage Nation. President Obama vacation days this year. Full family Christmas and New Year's in Hawaii. March spring break, First Lady Michelle, Mom Marian Robinson, and both daughters hit Broadway. Memorial Day in Chicago with the family. 3 days in July in Maine, primarily to Bar Harbor. Last week, the president traveled to Chicago for a birthday party, so they say. Michelle and Sasha spent much of last week on Spain's southern coast, ending with a trip to Mallorca to meet the King and Queen of Spain. This weekend, a night on the Gulf Coast, you know, a few hours. Then really zip right up to Martha's Vineyard where the bankers, the investment bankers who put him in office, will be. Questions for the Savage Nation. What has Obama done to warrant these vacations? It's 8 vacations this year. Poor Bush went and chopped wood in Crawford, and the vermin in the media went crazy. Oh, vacation. How come he's on vacation? So many vacations. You know, I know many of you will say he's entitled to it. You're wrong. He's not entitled to so many vacations. And he could do what he wants. He's president, but it's an embarrassment. Muslims worry as Ramadan celebration falls on 9/11 anniversary. You hear this story. The lunar calendar that Muslims follow for religious holidays is creating a potential for misunderstandings. Or worse, in a year when American Muslims are ginning up the lies about a spike in assaults on their faith. They're trying to pretend that they're oppressed. They're an oppressed minority. So the questionable care group, the Washington-based, the controversial civil rights group, is urging mosques to review the group's security guidelines during Ramadan, including clearing brush where people could hide and installing surveillance cameras. And they said, Kerr said, the issue I can sense brewing on hate sites on the Internet is these Muslims are celebrating on September 11th, said Ibrahim Hooper, national spokesmouth for Kerr. It's getting really scary out there. Really scary. Scary. If it's so scary, stop provoking everybody. Stop it. I want to hear the official song of the AMA, the Five Statens singing in the Still of the Night. This is dedicated to the Five Statens who created this song back in the 50s for the AMA. Five satins. Come on, it's a joke. You know, you could tell a joke, but you don't know how many people even understand what you're talking about. I think that's funny, the five statements, since we're talking about statements. Phil's laughing, but he's paid to laugh. How come your laughs, did they go out on the line? No. Did they, guys? They did go out, thank God. I don't mind. I mean, a little support wouldn't be bad once in a while. They really laugh, you know, and it's funny, it's funny, and they don't have to. If they don't, they get fired, but they don't have to laugh. It's not... Phil Newmark, Doug Lynn, what would I do without you? I wouldn't have a show, I'll tell you that. This is a tough business. Murder. You think it's easy, try it. All right, it's enough already. The five statements. The five statements. I'm going through the summer, you know, doldrums. In a way, I'm up, I'm down. I'm going to stay in radio forever. I'm not going to stay in radio. I'm going to do a once-a-week show at the end of the year. I'm going to make my book a raging bestseller, and then I'm going to slowly disappear like Johnny Carson. And I, you know talk radio is about sort of as close as honesty as you're going to get in the media today. You know that. That's why you're still hooked on it after all these years. And I, of all of the people in the radio business, have a bond with my audience unlike any other. Everyone knows that. Even people who don't like me. Even people who don't like my politics are addicted to the show. That's the strange phenomenon about Michael Savage and talk radio. But so I was speaking about it last night. I was so dead tired after the show. I had flown. I was up at 5 in the morning. I had bad, like a bad thing the day before with the neck. Something happened. And I just didn't feel good. Flu, Southwest Airlines, you know. Perfume. I had to put the fan on. You know, in a plane, they have the air thing over your head. Everything was going well till a woman came on with perfume. My eyes almost went out of my head. I almost rolled out of my head. A perfume on her. Two libs from the University of California at Berkeley. So the minute they walked on at the end, he already was directing the whole airplane. A little white bearded, white haired, you know, a little neo fascist there from Berkeley. Oh, look, there's a window seat here. You take that, honey. She walked by me. I got a whiff of that perfume. I almost rolled out of the seat. So I put on the two air vents to try to blow it back into her face. And that was an hour's worth of flying, blowing the perfume back at her. I got here. My throat was out. I was like dazed from it. Then I did the show. I was so tired at the end of the show. I said to my family, who I'm down here with, I said, let me tell you something. Nothing on earth is worth feeling this exhaustion. I don't want to do this anymore. If I'm going to be this tired... And I rarely get that way. I've done it 16 years. I've never been as tired as I was yesterday. If I get this way again, nothing on earth is worth it. No amount of money on earth is worth feeling what I felt. So it's funny, you know what my son said to me? I'm going to level with you. He said, Dad, you started the whole conservative movement on the radio. He said, you started it. You don't need anyone to tell you that. You know that. You did the first Tea Party groups with the Compassionate Conservative Conventions. No one has to tell you that. He said, if you wanted to leave, you would have done your job. He said, you know, you don't need anyone to tell you. He said, the next generation took over the younger guys. He mentioned them, Hannity and Beck and O'Reilly. I said, you're right. They are the younger guys, some of them by 20 years. I don't forgive, there's a word. I don't care that they're doing well. God bless them. We need them. They can't do what I do, okay? But they're doing a great job in their own way. Forget that they didn't help me with the UK. I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter to me. So... what I'm saying is if I pull a Johnny Carson and I do just the once a week, I'm envisioning just a once a week Sunday night like Matt Drudge used to do where I keep my hands in and I really am refreshed, look forward to it. But this daily grind, I got to tell you, I don't know how anyone can do this on a daily basis the way I do it. It's almost miraculous that I can still do this. Sometimes I don't know where it comes from. I walk in here before this microphone and I say, where the hell do you get the energy to do this? I've had friends say to me, how the hell do you do this every day? How do you do this for 16 years, day in and day out, 3 hours a day? Well, the answer is because I love America. I love America. I'm a Boy Scout. I was born like this. My father came here from a foreign country and told me what a great country it was. I looked around and I saw people could come. They could come here with nothing, and they could make something out of their lives. They were free to say anything they wanted. They could write anything they wanted to a newspaper. Admittedly, they wouldn't get published. And I understood as I got older what freedom really was. Children don't really know what freedom is. They assume everyone is free on the earth. And then I wake up and I see it's getting worse. It starts with Bill Clinton. It then goes to the Bushes. Now we're suddenly in the death throes of the United States of America, where a man on the level of Salvador Allende has taken over the United States of America, and very few know this. Yes, there are many who do, but that's very few compared to the large number of the population as a whole. And the Allende of our time, if you want to put him in such a benign form, that's Obama, is racing to grant amnesty to illegal aliens to assure himself the presidency for life. That's exactly what I see happening. Because if he gets them to vote, he will eliminate term limits as sure as I'm sitting here. I was the first to say it. Rush picked it up a week later. All right. That's the best he could do, Rush Limbaugh. That's the best he could do. That's all. Don't get me started on these people. You know, I know the difference between Mozart and Salieri, so I'm sure he knows who Mozart is, too. As good as Salieri was, he wasn't Mozart. What else do you want me to talk about? I think I've covered it. See if my dinner date is... I just got an email. Hold on. Tomorrow night, so far... Oh, very good. I got a date already tomorrow night with a famous movie star and my good friend Andrew Breitbart. He's a right-wing movie star, okay? He's a right-wing movie star. He's a nice guy. He's actually the only one that I... There's a few of them that are very good. Last time I was down here, our Midnight Cowboy came to meet me. What's his name? I think he's a great, terrific, very... What's Midnight Cowboy's name? Gentleman the Laugher. Not Dennis Hopper. He's dead. How could it be Dennis Hopper? He was in rehab or in a hospital dying of cancer. How could he have come to dinner last time I was here? Phil, come on. Who played Midnight Cowboy? I'm sorry, I forget. All right, forget about it. Laugh. Just laugh then for the money. Anyway, thank you, John Voight. Great guy. They have a certain look, movie stars. They have a certain glow about them. I don't know what it is, like a super barbering. The only people who were barbered that well when I was a kid were like Italians in like the trash business. The few that we knew like around the perimeter. They always were barbered like to the nth degree. I never saw anything like it. Not a hair was growing out of place. Shaved every morning in their own chair, in their house, I imagine, with a cloak and a guy who looks like a spaghetti cook from the Bronx comes in that they still have here somewhere. Perfectly manicured. I admire that in a person. I'm too lazy to put my... I'm a good-looking guy. I really am. I've been blessed with good looks. I'm a little older now, but I'm still good-looking. I got to tell you, I was blessed with the decent looks. It works for you in your life. If you're ugly, it's hard in life. If you're an ugly guy, it's hard. You get older, you know, and everything goes on a person's looks. You start to, you know, time and gravity wrecks everyone. I've been very lucky so far. I have. I don't want to start begging, you know, tempting fate right now, but I've been very lucky. So the point is, very nice man, very exactly what he says he is, very politically conservative, terrific guy, and a good actor, really good actor. There is a little hope in Hollywood, but I don't know. You look at the people who run the studios and you look at the what the kind of garbage they make. Has there been one movie made yet about the Islamic terror that threatens the world? Answer, no. There was one series, remember the one that came out for a while? It was a big hit until they changed the terrorists from Islamic terrorists to a white supremacist. Remember that? Then no one watched it anymore. What was done with the clock ticking? 24, tick, tick, tick. Everyone loved it when they showed the sleeper cells. That was absolutely what's going on. Take a look at Milwaukee with the Somalis. You're not supposed to notice it. Homegrown terrorists. What the hell does that mean? Homegrown terrorists. Oh, they're in churches. Yeah, now tell me that the Christians are just as violent as the Muslims. You left-wing scumbag. I hate you. You lunatics, you. You're living in the greatest country on earth, and all you are is like a bug. You're like a disease germ. You hate the country. You're like a virus that's infecting it. So, as I say, I mean, I can still put out the horsepower. You want me to start yelling and screaming? I'll start yelling and screaming. I don't care if it's Friday in the middle of the night. You get me started with these viruses on in the media and the viruses in Hollywood. They're like defense cells that have turned against their own body. Oh, because they're big and famous? That means they're sane? Take a look at their children. Take a look at the lives they lead and tell me they're sane. Half of them invested with Madoff. How sane are they? Look at Steven Spielberg, the big genius. Big genius. Big genius. Put his money in with Madoff, the con man. Real blessing for the Jews, that Madoff. Real did a lot for the Jewish people. Set him back 100 years. Set him back 150 years between Bernie Madoff and three other people They put the Jewish people back 100 years in this country. But no one will say that either.
Oy vey, what are you saying? Oh, you can't say that. Don't even say it. Oy vey, keep it quiet. Don't even mention it.
There's no topic that's taboo for me or say, oh, you can't say it? Tell me what I can't talk about. Go ahead. Tell me what I can't talk about on the Savage Nation. Tell me that I can't say Larry David has set the Jewish people back almost to the level of the pogrom. Larry David and his wise guy Brooklyn Big Mouths have so debased the Jewish people in this country with their snideness and their anti-Christian behavior and their Christophobic shows that they set people against the Jews back 100 years. Larry David, the Big Mouth from Beverly, wherever the heck he lives. Every show is a Christophobic show. Either it's he knocks the Christian Scientist in one or the urine on the Jesus picture. So I try to tell people why this gets me mad. Most of them don't even understand that Larry David, Woody Allen, and even Seinfeld are the stereotype of the Jewish schlemiel. A schlemiel is a weakling of a man. Now, in the black community, they had Step and Fetch It. In the 1940s, before my time, but I've watched the retros, there was a black actor who made a fortune by debasing the black people. He played the servile black. So the white people loved Step and Fetch It because it reinforced the image that the white people wanted to believe black men were. Servile slave. You know, servile. You know what I'm saying? Untermenschen. Made a fortune on it. So now speed the clock forward and you have Woody Allen. You have Seinfeld in the modern age, and then you have Larry David playing the older age, but they're all playing the Jewish Step and Fetch It, which is the stereotype of the schlemiel Jew, the weakling who can't and won't fight, cheap, pecuniary, nasty, picks on children, picks on women, right out of the early days of Hitler's Germany, only now it's being done by Jews like Larry David. This is what I say to people. They don't even understand what I'm talking about. Now, you ask him, he wouldn't know what you're talking about. He would deny it. After all, he's done so well creating the Jewish schlemiel. Why would he acknowledge that he has so debased the Jewish people? Now, you can't call me on any of this because it's not even written. It hasn't even been written yet. None of this has been written down. None of it. It's a cultural observation. A talk show, at its best, is supposed to be diverse. It's a current word. That means interesting, diverse, everything diverse. That became a code word for everything, diverse, diversity, diversity. Fusion, everything, fusion, diversity. If you ever eat fusion cookery, you know what it is, it's confusion. It's a mixture of this, a mixture of that, they don't know what the hell they're making. It's like a meatloaf with strawberry juice on it, you know, that's fusion cooking. Although Asian Italian, what does Asian Italian mean? Spaghetti with raspberry sauce? So anyway, you could talk. You can bring up any topic. It's all interesting to me. I'm a Renaissance man. Most people don't even know what a Renaissance man is. I'm in the last of the Renaissance men. If you would ask me to define myself, I am a raconteur. Yes, I'm a great storyteller. I'm like summarizing now. It's like the last act. I almost feel like I'm summarizing my career over the next month, a couple of months, and then goodbye. I don't know what it's like. Sometimes the subconscious takes over a human being, and he doesn't even know it. But I'm almost redefining myself or defining myself for you before exiting stage right. I'm telling you, I don't know where this is going, but maybe. I'm not threatening. I'm not trying to be overly dramatic. I've done my bit. I've done my share. My book is going to come out in October. I want it to be a big smash. It's not that I'm going to get rich from it. It's going to change my lifestyle. It's not. Most of the money will be given away at the end of the day. It's because the book is so important, Trickle Up Poverty, that when I sold it to the publisher for a major league advance, there was no press release yet, by the way, which I find odd, I said the cover alone is a billboard. I said, I want you to imagine 10 people or 1,000 people holding up this book at a town hall meeting without saying a word. It'll have more effect than 10,000 people screaming. They bought the book immediately because they knew right away I was right. I was tapped into this. Look at the title, Trickle Up Poverty. I'm surprised it hadn't been ripped off yet. After all, I put it up years ago, I stated it. Well, now the book is up there, and, you know, it's so prescient that I can't help but talking about it. I have it up on michaelsavage.com. Take a look at the cover, da-da-da, go to Amazon, you see what's in it. But no one's talking about the topics I'm talking about. Of course you think it's about the economy, which it is. But that's a given. But when I say trickle-up poverty, I mean the impoverishment of the military by Obama, the impoverishment of religion by Obama, the impoverishment of education by Obama, the impoverishment of the culture by Obama. In other words, everything that the man has tried to meddle with or transform has been impoverished. That is why it's called trickle-up poverty. You get it? This is a very, very, very dangerous time we are living in. And all intelligent people that I know, everybody who has a high IQ recognizes this. Even people who voted for Obama are sick to their stomach over who he has turned out to be. They were too gullible and too naive to see what this guy would do. I was never duped. I was never fooled. I tried to warn you about him. I was the first in the media to warn you he was a naked Marxist. I was the first. I saw it from a mile away. But you didn't want to believe me. Many of you didn't want to believe me. And now look what you have. Okay, I'll be back.
Savage.
Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out.
Great song. I love these lyrics. I just love these lyrics. It's maudlin in a way. You could look at it in a number of different ways. And only Frank could sing this song anyway, but it's very amazing. I'd like to lip sync it on stage one day in a living room filled with an audience of my dog and his friends. Teddy loves everything I do. Don't we love our dogs? I miss Teddy. He's not down with me on the trip. Normally I take him everywhere, but he had an ear infection. He had an ear infection, my little poodle, so I took garlic. I didn't have any of the antibiotic cream, so we took garlic and warm olive oil, and I crushed the garlic in the olive oil, and I strained the olive oil. I let it cool off, and we put it in with a thing, and most of it went away. You don't need to use antibiotics for every little infection. There are natural cures for things, for God's sakes. Wake up. Food first. What you eat, what you don't eat. Vitamins, herbal medications. Why do you have to keep using toxic drugs for every little complaint, I ask you? Is there no one left in America who understands the dangers that you talk about propaganda? So I have a friend who wrote me, and he says he has neuropathy. So he says, well, don't worry. The drugs cause neuropathy. They have medication to treat the side effects of the neuropathy. Then they, you know, in other words, you take statins and you get neuropathy. So then the quack gives you a drug for neuropathy. You got a tingling sensation. You got a loss of feeling in your leg. We got three drugs for that one. Oh, you have another problem. You have a memory loss. You have another drug. They put you on six drugs. If I go in for a medical, the first thing the doctor says, how many drugs are you on? I say, none. They say, finally, they look at me. I say, what? How many medications are you on? You're a certain age. None. I have no medication. Well, what surgery have you had? I had tonsils taken out when I was five. They don't believe it. Now, it doesn't mean that tomorrow, because I always have to make that mea culpa thing, because I don't know what's coming. I always apologize, because I don't know what God has in store for me the next second, let alone the next day. I am one of the most God-fearing people in the media. To me, you got to watch out. You know, you better not shout. You never know where Santa Claus is going to be, if you know what I'm talking about. You know, somebody up there may like you, and the next minute he may forget you. There's a busy guy up there. There's a whole universe to take care of, and many universes. He's going to remember you and your toothache. Dear God, help me, my tooth hurts. Make sure it doesn't fall out. He's got nothing else to do. That's all. Only your tooth is all he's got to worry about, I say to myself.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Pacific campaign of World War II was the only period of history when the exclusive focus of the Marine Corps was on amphibious assault. Yet fundamentally, the Marines do not want to be, nor does America need, another land army. Nor do they want to be, nor does America need, a U.S. Navy police force, as President Truman once quipped.
Eddie, my love, I love you so, how I want it for you. You'll never know.
I invite you to go to michaelsavage.com, the stories that I didn't get to today. Some of them I did. They're up there, the whole, you know, complete version. But I have a bigger announcement. Friday the 13th, August 13th, Friday the 13th, 2010, I introduce Trickle Up Poverty. There you'll see me with my hat, stopping Obama's attack on our borders, economy, and security. No longer can we let the American dream be trampled. Trickle Up Poverty, my new book, is your best defense against the Obamanomics that are dragging the middle class and everyone else into a Marxist socialist death spiral. Go and take a look at it. See what you think. You can see what's in it. Other stories. Defense Chief Gates is talking about shrinking the Marine Corps. Now, why would Obama and the libs fear the Marine Corps? We've talked about that. Speaking of national insecurity, Russia will begin fueling Iran nuke plant next week. Only 29% of Americans back Obama's handling of illegals. This is crazy. Researchers propose adding statins to fast food in England. Make that a burger, fries, and a side of Lipitor. Now, you have to understand that there are side effects to these drugs that can be catastrophic for some people. This is all on MichaelSavage.com. Afghan clerics seek Islamic law. So in other words, we're fighting to impose Sharia. That's what our men are dying for. Obama is willing to meet Ahmadinejad? You're kidding me. Have you not seen the interview of Michael Savage in Playboy? It is posted for your reading pleasure. Admittedly, the cover girl, the Playmate of the Month, looks better than I do. But the fact is, it's all about me. DHS releases 481 illegal aliens from terrorist rogue nations. Well, they can go right to work for the Department of Homeland Security. The U.S. wants Iraq to pay the bill for war victims. Whatever that means. U.S. bailouts help foreign firms. The $700 billion U.S. bailout program had a far greater impact overseas than other countries' financial rescue plans did on the U.S. We bailed out foreign banks. This is all on MichaelSavage.com, by the way, and I invite you to take a look at all of the topics up there. More college students mentally ill. You mean there are some who aren't? The number of college students with severe mental illness, including those on psychiatric medications, is rising. How could it rise any higher than 100%? Rangel slams critics telling him to resign. No kidding. Prep teacher allegedly had stash of child porn. Manhattan elementary school teacher and summer camp counselor was charged with having a voluminous amount of child porn on the computer in his bedroom. Shocking. Just shocking. Finally, on the bottom of MichaelSavage.com, well, there's other stories up there. Don't miss them. All for your reading pleasure. What's this with the Apple iPhone? I don't even own one. I'm stuck using the equivalent of the Royal Portable cell phone. I mean, people laugh at me. I'm ashamed. I'm one of these older guys. I have a cell phone like a Nokia from years ago. I refuse to get rid of it because I know how to use it. Like, I hide it now and I take it. I feel ashamed. It's like hiding pornography 30 years ago. When I pull out this phone, I go into like a closet. I shade it underneath a hat. I don't want anyone to see my handheld device. They snicker at me. All these young people running around with the oracles in their hand, they think that they're geniuses. They have a device in their hand and they move their hand left, right, up, down, this, press, that. And suddenly they think they're Einstein. It's amazing to me. No, I don't have one of those things. So what's this with the antenna? Doesn't work? Why doesn't it work? I thought Apple was the apple of America's eye. Now what is it? What is it? The apple isn't working. Where is the apple is losing money? The antenna cuts off a call. Can you imagine a girl being cut off when she's talking about her shoes? That's a real loss to America, isn't it? Can you imagine some of these yentas talking about the way they're going tonight, what they're going to do shopping? It's unbelievable to me what people talk about on cell phones. They can take cell phones and throw them in the garbage as far as I'm concerned. All right, how about some more of the new rock and roll that we
have? It's summertime, 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 summertime. Well, shut them books and throw away.
You know, the rock and roll of the 50s is interesting. Not only that I was a boy when it was, you know, my age. I'm not hiding it. I'm nothing to be ashamed of. I'm proud of it that I survived this long, by the way. Never thought I'd get here, but here I am. And I'm stronger than I was at 30, incidentally, physically and mentally. I wish to God I was as strong as I am now when I was 30. Honest to God, I feel stronger physically and mentally. I'm probably not. That's part of the deception. Who really knows? But thank God I feel good. So I'm listening to the music, and I realize it's 50 years ago, and yet the music's still beautiful. And I ask myself, is 50s rock and roll beautiful because it reminds me of when I was a kid, or is it beautiful because it's beautiful? It's all love songs. There's none of that crotch rubbing, gutter garbage that you hear today. There's none of that filth that you hear today in rap music. There's none of the violence and the misogyny you hear in music. It was all about the love for a woman and love, love, love. That's all it was.
Heart and soul.
Most of the performers, or a good portion, were black. And somehow they didn't have to revert to the gutter and to violence and misogyny to make their music sell, did they? No, it's not about race at all. It's about the degeneration of the United States of America as a society and as a culture. There's nowhere you go today that the filth has not penetrated. The sewer pipe of the entertainment industry has penetrated every aspect of our society. The sewer pipe that comes out of Hollywood has polluted virtually every aspect of our life. I'll be right back.
Come softly, darling. Come softly, darling.
Enough roll, let's go back to rocks. That is the politics of rocks.
Come softly.
Joining us now with the Savage Nation is Jack Hunter.
It's always good to be with you, Michael. Well, I wanted to get into this decision. You know, last week the big news, of course, was that a federal judge had overturned Proposition 8 in California. As we all know, in November, the California voters went to the polls and voted on a referendum, and they decided they did not want gay marriage in the state of California, which is their right as a state to decide. If you had to think of a good purpose, a practical modern purpose for states' rights, it would certainly be the social issues that so divide us. You know, in a country of 300 million people, we're not going to agree on everything. I don't care if it's abortion or drug legalization, things like gay marriage, particularly these social issues. The best piece we could probably ask for, if democracy still means anything and if people should have their say, is that at the state level we decide these questions. If Vermont wants to have gay marriage, that's their prerogative. If California does not, that's their prerogative as well. Well, who says it's not? A federal judge who's using the 14th Amendment to say that, you know, somehow gays are being denied their rights because they can't get married in California, and he has overturned Proposition 8. Now, let me ask you this. What does an amendment designed originally to protect the basic civil rights of former slaves after the war, the so-called Civil War, what does that have to do with gay marriage? Do you think the people who enacted the 14th Amendment, the politicians, would have thought ever in a million years that it would be used to say that gay marriage should be legal in the state of California, no matter what the people say about it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a big stretch, and it's only one stretch among many that our federal government constantly makes. You know, they'll use the 14th Amendment, but somehow never the 10th, the Supremacy Clause, interstate commerce, and they stretch the meaning of these parts of the Constitution that were once solid and definable to mean absolutely anything. Now, a good example of this, or somebody being honest about this, when Elena Kagan was up for her Senate nomination recently, and Senator Tom Coburn asked her point blank, according to her interpretation of the Constitution, is there anything in the Constitution that would allow the federal government to make sure or enforce or just make them do it? Americans eat 3 vegetables a day.
Hmm.
Now, of course, she said that was absurd. I think that's absurd. I think most of your listeners would think that's absurd. But you know what she said? She said, yes, that the federal government has it within their purview, their power, to make Americans eat three vegetables a day. Now, who in the hell thinks the founding fathers would have ever intended the Constitution of the United States to give the federal government that sort of power? Of course it's not true, and Elena Kagan deserves credit for being honest. That's exactly how the federal government operates. That they have construed parts of this Constitution, whether it's the Interstate Commerce Clause, the 14th Amendment, Supremacy Clause, to mean things they were never intended to mean. By the way, if we are violating homosexuals' rights, basic civil rights, by not obeying the 14th Amendment with gay marriage, since when did marriage become a basic civil right? You know, I think a lot of liberals out there, probably including Elena Kagan, certainly this president, people like Nancy Pelosi, seem to think that health care is a right. That is a basic right that we all must have. So if states decide to opt out of Obamacare, as many are threatening to do right now, are they denying the constitutional basic civil rights under the 14th Amendment to have health care? Or are these inventing new rights? Is this federal judges legislating from the bench and inventing new rights? I dare say it is. Marriage is not a basic civil right. The 14th Amendment was intended to protect things like contracts, the ability to buy property. That's what they were worried about with former slaves, that gay marriage is now on the table. And arguably, if you follow the logic and what Elena Kagan says about being forced to eat three vegetables, health care and anything else they can come up with. It's completely ridiculous. I ask you this, Michael, and your listeners. Do you think the same people who think this is just so wonderful that this federal judge has turned to overturn Proposition 8 will now call for the arrest and prosecution of people in the state of California who are using medicinal marijuana? Well, of course they won't, but guess what? That's against federal law. Why is federal supremacy okay when it comes to gay marriage, but it's something they will defy and nullify in a state's rights tradition when it comes to medicinal marijuana? You can't have it both ways. You're either for states' rights or you're not. I'll give you one better. In 2006, what was called the Marriage Protection Amendment was up for vote in the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate. It was defeated. I think it lost by 56 votes in the House and 11 votes in the Senate. It's something that could certainly be revisited in the future. Now, this amendment was in part a reaction to states like Vermont, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts, which had legalized same-sex unions, had legalized gay marriages, full-blown marriage in some instances. Is it the right of those states? Is it the right of the state of Vermont to have same-sex marriage? Well, if you're a state's rights person and consistent like I am, absolutely it's their right. Is it the right of California to deny it? Absolutely, it's their right. And if you deny that, if you're on the left and you sort of want to have it both ways, then you know what? You have to call for the arrest and the imprisonment of those using medicinal marijuana in California right now if you're going to be consistent in your belief that the federal government trumps all. And I don't know many on the left who are willing to go that distance.
Exactly.
Well, you know, if the Golden State had a governor worth a damn, the first thing he would do was stick by his constituents' original decision, and I know Arnold Schwarzenegger would never do that, and he would nullify this law, just defy the federal government. That's what they're doing with medicinal marijuana. They are ignoring and defying the federal law, and nothing's being done about it. That's what they should do. You know, our federal government used to be a lot more honest in how they sort of wanted to intrude into our lives. In 1919, when they passed the 18th Amendment, which was the repeal of alcohol, the federal government had no business, if you look at the Constitution, regulating alcohol. That's at the state level. Today, alcohol is regulated at the state level. The federal government recognized at the beginning of the 20th century, in 1919, that in order for them to intrude into that area, the regulation of alcohol, originally just left up to the states, they had to pass an amendment. That was the constitutional mechanism. Well, now we have these federal drug laws, and you show me in the Constitution, just like alcohol, that where that's in their constitutional purview, where it's in the purview of the federal government. It's not there, but they just do it. Just like Elena Kagan says, well, I can force you to eat three vegetables a day if I want. The federal government can, rather. That's how they operate. They construe parts of the Constitution to mean absolutely anything. There's nothing in there saying anything about whether they have the power to regulate marriage, gay or otherwise, drugs, alcohol, the whole bit, and you're either for the Constitution and the limits it places on itself. That's what the Constitution is. It is keeping the federal government in a box. That's what limited government means. And if this judge's decision about Proposition 8 in California stands, it's just one more example of their unlimited power, because they can do anything they want. And that's if you're for or against gay marriage. I personally don't care. In the grand scheme of things, I'm worried about a $14 trillion debt. I'm worried about a Federal Reserve that prints money out of thin air. I'm worried worried about borrowing money from China to sustain this unsustainable debt and future generations. If gay people want to get married, that is the least of my concerns, but I am concerned about a federal government that's so out of control that it can dictate to a nation of 300 million people such social issues.
Exactly.
It should be decided at the state level. If California wants to keep gay marriage illegal, that's their right. If a state like Vermont wants to make it legal, that's their right as well. Thomas Jefferson and George Washington would agree with every bit of that. And you know, Michael, the hypocrisy never ends. I mean, it was just in February that the Supreme Court actually had decided that Chicago's gun ban was unconstitutional because it was in defiance of the Second Amendment. At the time, liberals said, well, the federal courts are interpreting it too broadly, that it should be a local case and it should be a local decision. But now they completely changed their mind. This federal judge with the 14th Amendment and Proposition 8, oh, well, he's absolutely right. Federal supremacy, the federal government trumps all. It's hypocrisy on both ends. You could be on the left or the right. You could be a conservative or a liberal and agree that the Constitution must matter and we must obey it. We can't just let federal judges make up laws. We can't let people like Elena Kagan, if they ever wanted to, force us to eat three vegetables. I'm not saying she would, but the fact that she thinks she has the power is as dangerous and all you need to know about how out of control this government is. If you care about the Constitution, you should be against the federal judge's decision on Proposition 8, and I don't care how you think about gay marriage.
Right, right, right. Thanks for the report, Jack.
If you'd like to learn about this and more, I encourage your listeners, Michael, to visit SouthernAvenger.com. Y'all take care.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Earth Angel, will you be mine?
Joining us now with an exclusive Savage Nation report is Eric Stackelbeck.
Michael, always a pleasure to be with you. Well, this mosque controversy at Ground Zero is obviously heating up. We know that New Yorkers do not want this mosque complex built at Ground Zero on hallowed ground. We know that Mayor Michael Bloomberg obviously is demonizing any opponents of this mosque. And Michael, he had the audacity, by the way, to say last week, and this comment was widely overlooked for some reason, but Bloomberg had the audacity to say last week that American troops in Iraq and Afghanistan are fighting in part so that Muslims in America can build mosques anywhere they please here, including at Ground Zero. I got to say, Michael, that I think would come as news to our troops, to say the least. But look, as I said earlier, I said Rudy Giuliani may have been known as America's mayor, but Bloomberg will now always be known as Arabia's mayor. Congrats, Mr. Mayor. You've earned that title. But look, we know about the controversy at Ground Zero, and God willing, because of civic outrage and hopefully some politicians there like Rick Lazio, the Republican who's running for governor, who strongly opposed that mosque, hopefully that mosque project at Ground Zero, that abomination at Ground Zero, that Islamic victory arch at Ground Zero gets kicked down the road, and at the very least they put it someplace else in Manhattan, but not at Ground Zero. That remains to be seen. But the bigger issue to me, Michael, the overriding issue, we know about Ground Zero. That's the epicenter of the whole mosque-building controversy in the U.S. But I don't know if listeners are aware that there are several of these mega mosque projects popping up around the United States in some of the most unlikely places.
What is that?
Tennessee is about 30 miles south of Nashville. This is the buckle of the Bible Belt, to say the least. Not a lot of Muslims there. But in Murfreesboro, an Islamic group there just purchased 15.2 acres of land, a multi-million dollar project to build a huge Islamic center in the heart of rural Tennessee. Now, this Islamic center will obviously include a large mosque. It will include two pavilions, a swimming pool, a gymnasium, a madrasa or Islamic school for the kiddies, a residence for the imam. This is going to be a huge facility plopped down in the middle of rural Tennessee. Now, they already have an existing Islamic center there, and the imam says, look, it's too small. They only have 250 Muslim families in this town. It's not a lot. It's not enough to warrant a 15.2-acre, multi-million-dollar mega mosque, to say the least. But he says, look, we need new digs. The current Islamic Center is too small. Okay, number one, there's some questions people in Murfreesboro have to ask, and they're asking them to their credit. Number one, what is the ideology behind this mosque's hierarchy? What do the leaders of this mosque and this multi-million-dollar project believe? It's the same thing we asked about Ground Zero, where Imam Rauf, who is the leader of this Ground Zero mosque project, refuses to condemn Hamas as a terrorist organization, said that America was in part responsible for the 9/11 attacks, and has spoken fondly about Islamic Sharia law.
Unbelievable.
Those questions have been answered at Ground Zero. What are the answers at Murfreesboro? Well, I spoke to the imam. He wouldn't go on camera with me. He said he condemns Hamas, Hezbollah, all violence against innocents. Now, Michael, I've interviewed a lot of these radical Islamic imams, and when they say we condemn all violence in the Middle East against innocents, that is code word for we also condemn Israel and what Israel, the horrific things Israel is doing to the Palestinians. So, and I asked them to condemn Hamas and Hezbollah on camera. No way. You know why? Because they support Hamas and Hezbollah. They don't consider Hamas and Hezbollah terrorist groups, and they don't recognize Israel's right to exist. And that's the bottom line. So the imam wouldn't go on camera with me, but there was a board member from this mosque in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, of all places, who on his MySpace page, Michael, supported the terrorist group Hamas. Surprise! I asked the imam about it. He said, oh, well, that guy's board membership has been frozen. But then I talked to another mosque spokesman who said, his board membership's not frozen. He's still a member of the board. So this is what you have in Tennessee. I was able to interview the county mayor. Murfreesboro, Tennessee is in Rutherford County, as I said, about 30 miles south of Nashville. Interviewed the county mayor, and this was a guy, nice guy, you know, but doesn't get it, doesn't get the issues that are at stake. He says, look, this is a religious freedom issue, but Islamic ideology, Islamist ideology is so much deeper than that. It's an all-encompassing system, as you know, Michael, that covers, dominates every aspect of your life, from how you pray to what your wife wears to how you wear your pants to what you eat and beyond. Islam is also a very political ideology. The mayor of this county doesn't quite get it. A nice guy, like I said, but this isn't a time for nice guys, okay? This is a time when we are under assault, when Judeo-Christian Western civilization is under assault by Islamists who want to literally impose Sharia law in this country, stuff my wife and daughters into a burqa. This is no time for nice guys. This is time for people, especially government officials, like a county mayor in Rutherford County, Tennessee. This is a time for people like that in positions of authority to step up, show some strength, show some guts, and most of all, educate yourself. Get educated about the enemy we face. To me, Michael, it's dereliction of duty. 9 years after 9/11, for any government official to not know what jihad and Sharia law are.
Exactly.
It's unacceptable. First rule of war, know your enemy. How many of these government officials have ever picked up the Quran or the Hadith or the Sunnah or books by, you know, leading Islamic quote-unquote thinkers? How many? You have to understand the ideology of your enemy. Obviously, the Obama administration doesn't understand it, or they do understand it and they don't want to acknowledge it. We know that. But especially at the local level, it's so crucial. And among the average people in Murfreesboro, I saw a lot of knowledge. It was heartening. I saw a lot of knowledge. The people got it, and they're vehemently opposed to this mosque. Polls show that some 70% of people in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, are opposed to this huge Islamic center being built in their community. The mosques are the incubators of radicalism. People get that. 70% of the mosques in the U.S. have Saudi funding behind them.
This is unbelievable to me.
These are hotbeds for the Muslim Brotherhood, who you and I have discussed several times on the program, Michael. The Brotherhood is the granddaddy of them all when it comes to Islamic terrorist groups. The Muslim Brotherhood, founded in Egypt, was the precursor to Al-Qaeda, to Hamas. Hamas is the Gazan branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. These are bad, nasty guys, okay? And they have a bunch of offshoots here in the U.S. CARE, ISNA, the Muslim American Society, MASS, the alphabet soup of Islamic groups. They all have their acronyms. The alphabet soup of radical Islamist groups. They all have the Muslim Brotherhood ideology. These are the groups that, number one, our government is meeting with and labeling moderates. And number two, these are the groups who are behind these mega mosque projects. So Murfreesboro was a real eye-opener for me, Michael. And look, we know about Ground Zero, obviously. It's national news. But how many Americans know about this push in Murfreesboro, Tennessee? And Tennessee, of all places, the Bible Belt, is becoming a real central spot for the fight against radical Islam in this country. Michael, there are no less than three mega mosque projects right now in Tennessee, of all places. Murfreesboro, Antioch, Tennessee, which is just outside of Nashville. And in Memphis, they just built, under the radar, a big multi-million dollar Islamic center there. So you have the Tennessee contingent of mosques popping up. You had Ground Zero in New York City. Also in New York City, Staten Island, the Muslim American Society, which has been identified as the American arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. They attempted to buy a Catholic, I believe it was a convent and or a rectory in Staten Island.
No.
The locals rose up against it. These are working class salt of the earth people in Staten Island. They rose up against it. Thankfully, this Catholic church backed down. The sale will not go through. So Staten Island, we have a victory. Ground Zero, it remains to be seen. So let's look at the geographic outlie, if you will, Michael. New York City, Tennessee, Kentucky, Wisconsin, Portland, Oregon, California. This is a pretty wide geographical range where no less than seven or eight major Islamic centers are already being built or are planned. These are all multi-million dollar projects, in most cases spread out over several acres of land.
How could this be going on?
Call me crazy, but it's almost as if this is coordinated. Is this coincidental? Really? Is this coincidental to have seven or eight mega mosque projects going on at the same time on American soil spread out across a geographical area? Is that a coincidence? Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe it's just all a happy coincidence.
Sure.
It's almost as if someone in Riyadh or Cairo gave the green light and said, okay, boys, go ahead. Obama's in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
The big question here, Michael, where is the funding coming from? For every one of these mosque projects, they say, hey, the local community raised the money. Really? Well, a lot of the people in these local Muslim communities aren't world beaters financially. A lot of them are working class or middle class. These aren't people who are, making six figures or seven figures and can dole out a bunch of money for a multi-million dollar Islamic center. Especially in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, 250 families are paying for a multi-million dollar facility spread out over 15.2 acres of land. I doubt it. In all of these projects, the funding sources, they haven't come clean. The mosque hierarchy at all of these projects around the country that I'm discussing, Michael, have not come clean about where the money is coming from. All I can say is I hope that we wake up. I hope people are awake. I think this Ground Zero mosque has been, in a way, bad for the Islamists. I do think that, in a way, it's bad because it's drawing more of a spotlight on Islam, on Islamist ideology, and what they're all about and what the Muslim Brotherhood's all about. So I think in the long term, hopefully, God willing, this Ground Zero mosque doesn't go through. In the long term, it's a good thing, in a strange way, that it's turning the conversation towards Sharia law, jihad, the Muslim Brotherhood. It's shining a spotlight on the bad guys and their ideology, and it's waking average Americans up.
Thanks for the report, Eric.
Michael, thanks again. Always a pleasure. And check out my new show on CBNNews.com. It's called Stackelbeck on Terror. We discuss all of these hot-button issues. Thanks.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Hey.
This is the Savage Week in Review. Now, we started the week by playing clips of Bill Gates of Microsoft pushing death panels that we were told did not exist. Michelle's blunder. In other words, she goes to Spain while people here, you got a double dip inflation, it's at 10%. And you got people behind in their mortgages, and she says she's just like you. And now she's flying around, going to Spain. The question is, why didn't she go to San Diego if she likes beaches so much and ice cream? I mean, she can get an ice cream cone in Chicago, number one. I love how she lectures on diet and exercise and vegetable gardens and rolling sweet potato gardens. And every time I look, she's eating an ice cream cone. What kind of message is that? It's the same message as I just said. Do as I say, not as I do. But the point is really bigger than that. Here we have a nation in fiscal crisis with an out-of-control government that has no idea about fiscal constraint. And their own party has abandoned their insanity. For example, one of the Council of Economic Advisors, a fairly moderate woman, I am told, by comparison to what's going on around her, has left. She's gone back to her teaching job at the University of California at Berkeley, Christine Romer. And so now it's going to be turned over to the radicals, the complete left-wing lunatics, who have never managed a hot dog stand, let alone offered a service to anyone that anyone's ever needed. And so what they're going to do is obvious. With the insane Nancy Pelosi, Big Chin Pelosi there, she's going to write more checks for more people, more public works projects, and she's going to further indebt America to the point where we'll become nothing but a fax republic. Not a banana republic, because we don't grow bananas here. I think all we produce are faxes and emails. That's about the only product left in America since Bill Clinton exported our factories to China 15 years ago. All we have left are fax machines amongst those who don't have email and a postal service that should be closed down. Yeah, I thought about the high carbon postal truck came up my block at 5 o'clock to deliver the mail. Crack, you know, like just like the Pony Express. There was the driver that got his first job picking his nose in the truck. And he comes every day at 5 o'clock, just when I needed the mail at the end of a work day. And the fumes from the postal truck come into the window of the house. And I ask myself, why does a government that can't even run a postal service right, after all these years, think they can run a healthcare department correctly? The answer is they don't care. Of course they can't run a healthcare any more efficiently than it's been run. Of course they're going to wreck the economy even further. But why should it matter to Michelle Obama when she has Air Force Two? You know what I'm saying? So in light of that fact, it's kind of a crazy situation for all of us. And that's why I say we have to focus on the economics of the situation more than anything else. Let's bake it down to a brass tacks. It's time to admit that Obamanomics has failed America. Everybody is saying that, even stupid liberals who voted for the president. The economy is stalling. Unemployment is stuck at European levels of idleness, 10%. The federal deficit and the national debt are at historic highs. The public's confidence in Congress is at its lowest ever level. Big majority of mainstream Americans say Obama has the country on the wrong path. Obamanomics is a miserable failure, and everybody has admitted it except Obama and his minions. Isn't it time for you to admit it? Even Christina Rome, a chairwoman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, retired. 131,000 jobs lost in July. Downward revisions of 97,000 for the previous 2 months. So she's looking for the exits, of course. Now, what's going to happen is that there's going to be more money for stimulus, meaning Nancy Pelosi has to reward her friends who don't even know what to do with the money that's already falling out of their Swiss bank accounts. $308 million in subsidies to BP before the Gulf oil disaster. Subsidizing a study on what happens when monkeys snort cocaine. This is the government under psychopathic college liberals. That's why I say the pain from Spain falls mainly down the drain. Now, I'm all over the map today, which is beautiful, because that's the way it has to be for you. You have a low attention span, and this is not the public broadcasting where we work on the public's dime. I have to maintain your attention. They don't. Well, we just told you that my book, Trickle Up Poverty, was just listed on Amazon today with the cover and the link to my website just now. If you look up the category political doctrines, number one book is The Road to Serfdom, right? Then you go down. Now, remember, my book has not yet been published. Not yet been published, right? And even though it's not been published yet, number 16, Trickle Up Poverty by Michael Savage, not yet published. It's beating Karl Rove. It is beating Bill O'Reilly's book. It is beating Newt Gingrich's book. It is beating a guy on radio who sounds like an old woman getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia, his book. It is beating people I never heard of's book. And that's just the beginning. You know why? Because my book makes more sense than all of them put together. Trickle Up Poverty, Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security. To be published October 5th, 2010, available for pre-order on Amazon. Ha, ha, ha. Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security. You know, you just hold this cover up with 10 other people, you have an instant tea party. One picture is worth 1,000 words.
Savage.